Okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
Let's go.
Good morning to you all. It's always a privilege to share. It does come with a bit of fear and trepidation, because I think any time we share, we need to be aware of who it is that we're sharing about and who's actually in control. You know, last week, Rosemary shared on New Year's resolutions, and I thought it really was encouraging. I thought, I'm not like that. Because I hadn't made my resolutions at that time, but that was a Sunday. My resolutions were to start on the Monday. Now, I didn't break them in 10 minutes, but I really wasn't that far behind. So it's amazing how we hear things and think, yeah, I'm not like that. But you know what? We all are. We're all sinners. We're all saved. And this morning, I wanted to share on the fact that the Lord is wanting something special for us. And I think this coming year, it's a new year. And my hope is to encourage you, encourage myself, because the Lord's been speaking to me about me looking back and not looking forward. And we have work that the Lord has put aside for us from eternity. He's had works in place for us. Ephesians 2:10, somewhere there, it says that he has prepared works for us. And I've shared before that we need to be careful that we do what he wants, not what we think we should be doing. Because it's such a waste of effort. I've wasted much of my life in serving the Lord, not doing much for him. If that makes sense. I'm sure that it's benefited people, but you know, you worry about what you've done for the Lord, not what you've done, what you think the Lord wants, without really knowing it. And so sometimes we look back, and we look back at the last year, we see the mistakes, we see the sin in our lives, we see the bad decisions we make, we take the wrong options, and we can get caught up in that. We can get caught up in the fact that, Lord, I am no good. I am absolutely worthless. I'm no use to you at all. But you know what? That's not what the Lord wants us to look at. He wants us to look at the past, to understand what has happened, to learn from those mistakes. You know, we've seen them, we've repented, I hope, and we've asked forgiveness, I hope, for what has happened in the last year. But the Lord wants us to see behind us what he has done for us. We need to look back at the cross, in fact, to see what Jesus has done for us. We just sung that song where Jesus has done it all. He's already done it for us. And we need to look back to see where we're going. Does that make sense? In other words, we need to understand the mistakes that we've made. Hopefully we won't make them again. But if you're like me, there's some mistakes and errors in your life and judgment calls that you make which you're inclined to repeat. And it's not necessarily a good thing for us. But you know, the Lord wants us to look back to see the victories in our mistakes and errors, because we've been redeemed, we've been forgiven, we've been brought to the place where the Lord is there and prepared to pick us up, dust us off and say, keep going. And we can dwell on that, on the mistakes and the failure, or we can dwell on the victory that we have in Jesus, because that victory is already there for us. And I just get concerned sometimes that even my own life, and I say, I'm sharing what the Lord's speaking to me at the moment, I get concerned sometimes that I don't always see clearly where I've come from and what the Lord has done for me. I know that the Lord has worked, you know, with my wife and I, we chat now and again, once or twice, and we talk about where we've come from, and we have an interesting history. But you know, the Lord has been so incredibly faithful to us. And do we see these mistakes as growing? Do we see these errors, these bad judgment calls, as being the Lord building us? Do we see them for what they are? And we need to look at our mistakes and our errors in a different way. And I want to encourage you to do that. And you know, we do this not to condemn us. It's there to build us, to grow us. And I'd like you to turn with me. The first scripture I'd like to look at is Romans 7, verse 21. And, you know, between Romans and Hebrews, there's just so much in there. I'll probably spend the next 20 years trying to get through them all. But There's so much there for us. And what it is Paul in 7:21, Paul is talking about the fact that he wants to do the right thing. Just as all of us, I'm sure we all want to do the right thing. If you're born again, it's our desire to serve the Lord, to do what He wants of us. And I desire to do the right thing, but I don't seem to make it. I like the resolutions, yes, I'm there, and something happens, and it's gone. And Paul speaks about the fact, he says, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. In other words, what he's saying is, he wants to do the good thing, but he doesn't seem to make it. And so he says here, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death without condemnation? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I serve the law of God, and with the flesh the law of sin. Very simply, we try to do what the Lord wants, but we don't seem to succeed. Yes, we when I say don't, obviously I'm talking about we do grow, we are getting there. But there are many times I stumble, I fall, I want to do something good, but the flesh, the body, the world opinion, the world pressure, I seem to go a different direction. But we have a Lord who knows us from the beginning of creation. He knows who we are. He knows every single hair on your head. He knows who you are. Otherwise, He wouldn't have called you before you got born again. What were you like? Maybe we, hopefully, we're a lot different, but at the same time, He knows exactly who we are. He knows that we're sinners. He knows that we are, I love this word, talking to Glenn earlier, we are flawed. You know, I was listening to a commentary about the disciples. The disciples were flawed. I get encouraged when I read some of the situations the disciples found themselves in, the sort of thinking that they had. I get really encouraged by that. Because if they had that human tendency, that tendency to think like the world does sometimes, then I get a lot encouraged. Because the Lord is still working in us. We've got a long way to go, yes. But the Lord is still there for us. He has saved us for His purpose. And following on from that, in Romans 8 verse 1, the one thing we need to understand, that we do make mistakes. And we stumble, we fall, wrong decisions, wrong options. Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There is so much scripture, so much reading here that shows us what Jesus has done for us. And we need to learn these scriptures. We need to understand that as the world disintegrates around us, we need to be able to place our hope in something that we know and understand. That last song, that last hymn that we sang, very simply said that Jesus is our living hope. We serve a living God. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God who understands our emotions. He understands our mind. He knows who we are. When I was looking through the scriptures to share on hope, there's just so many of them that I don't have time for them this morning. Aren't you lucky? We'd be leaving here at about 4 o'clock this afternoon. But there's just so much in Scripture there that encourage us that we have a hope, a living hope. And when I say a living hope, it's the fact that we believe in a living Savior who's called us, who's chosen us, who's brought us to the place where we are here this morning. And if you're born again, I believe that within us, each and every one of us, there's a desire to grow, to serve the Lord the way He wants it. And if we like to, if you'd like to move to 1 Peter 1, I'd like to read a bit of a passage of scripture here, which does the job of quite a lot of other scriptures as well. But if I could read from verse 3. If you'll just forgive me, I just want to change my version, as it were. It says, "Blessed and gratefully praised and adored be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant and boundless mercy has caused us to be born again, that is, to be reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose, to an ever-living hope and confident assurance through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, born anew into an inheritance which is imperishable, beyond the reach of change, and undefiled, unfading, reserved in heaven for you." And I read that scripture and it is very clear. For me, it's almost a sermon in a nutshell. The Lord has put in place for us a way for us to come to the place eventually where we are found to be perfect in Christ. We have a living hope. And when you look at a little bit further down in verse 13, he speaks to us and says, "So prepare your minds for action. Be completely sober in spirit, steadfast, self-disciplined, spiritually and morally alert, and fix your hope completely on the grace of God that is coming to you when Jesus Christ is revealed." God has shown us his grace. He gives us his grace. He's given us eternal life. Do we all truly grasp eternal life? I've shared this before. There are men and women who spend fortunes on trying to live forever. We've been given it free of charge. But do we truly understand what God has done for us? You know, the definition of hope is wanting something to happen that you believe will happen. Okay? And we believe it to be true. We hope that it's true. But normally we have good reason to believe in that hope. You get in your car, you hope that it will start. Why do you hope that it will start? Because it's based on experience, fact that every time you get in the car, it actually does, well, most of the time, does start. And we need to have that same solid hope based in a fact. And we need to know the promises of God. Do we understand what God says about our eternal life? Do we all understand what God has put in place for us? Do we understand what he's done for us? Do we understand what he is still going to do for us? Because sometimes we can get to the place where we begin to lose hope. And I'm not saying that any of you suffer from that problem. But in a Christian walk over the many years, there are times when we do start to question the belief that we have. So we start to lose hope, because without hope, we cannot face the future. If there's no hope, what are you hoping for? You know, get up and have a decent breakfast tomorrow morning, or not. I don't know. But we need to have that hope for the future. And when we look at the hope that we have, we've got to go back again and look at the Lord's faithfulness behind us. Because when we've seen his faithfulness behind us, we can see his faithfulness that he's going to give us in the future. The Lord is faithful even when we are not faithful. The Lord can't go back on his word, what he's promised us. And if we look at Colossians 1, we move to Colossians 1:21. Colossians 1:21. I'll get there just now. And it says here, "And although we were at one time estranged and alienated and hostile-minded toward him, participating in evil things, yet Christ has now reconciled you to God in his physical body through death, in order to present you before the Father holy and blameless and beyond reproach. And he will do this if you continue in the faith, in the hope, well grounded and steadfast, not shifting away from the confident hope that is a result of the gospel that you have heard which was proclaimed to all creation under heaven, of which gospel I, Paul, was made a minister. All of us are born again. Well, I'm making that presumption. But I don't speak to people who don't understand a little bit of faith, a little bit of hope. Because you wouldn't be here if you didn't have a certain amount of faith. And you know what God has accomplished for us is He's made us a new family. He's brought us into a new family, to a new and fresh life in the Spirit, in Christ. So we are almost, I hesitate to use the word to be schizophrenic, but we are definitely two lives in one here. The Spirit does war against the flesh, but we are made up of spirit, soul, and flesh. And the Spirit often stands alone in this world around us because of the pressure on our emotions, the pressure on our mind, the pressure on our physical being, the pressure from finances, the pressure, and we can lose sight of what the Lord has done for us. We've been rescued from sin. We've been rescued from Satan. He's broken all chains. We've been singing these songs about what the Lord has done for us and still doing for us. That's why I talk about a living hope, because the Lord is still alive and well and still breaking those chains, still keeping us free from sin and slavery. And when we look at Ephesians 2, I'd suggest you read Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 is an incredibly uplifting piece of scripture where it shows us who we are, how God sees us. It says we are seated at the right hand of God with Jesus. I mean, I look at, no, I won't. I'm just saying, I look at myself here, and I'm overawed by that. I honestly don't know if I truly understand the fact that God has taken us and placed us with Jesus at His right hand in heaven. That is quite powerful. But if you, I'd like to go to Colossians 1, 27, which we've just done. Colossians 1:27. God in His eternal plan chose to make known to them how great for the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you and among you, the hope and guarantee of glory. We proclaim Him, warning and instructing everyone in all wisdom, that is, with comprehensive insight into the word and purpose of God, that we may present every person complete in Christ, mature, fully trained, and perfect in Him, the Anointed. It's one of Andrew's favorite sayings, is the hope of glory, Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, because He lives in us. He is a living hope. He's not somebody that stands a distance and lets us get on with it. Well, He does if you don't want to call on Him. If you don't want Him to help you, the Lord is quite good at letting us sit back and get on with it. But He's always available to us when we want Him. And the question is, what is your hope? And it's a challenge. What is your hope? We have a living hope, and the Scripture is clear. Do we know what the Scripture says to us? Do we understand it? Do we spend a lot of time, or a little bit of time, or some time getting to know the Lord more? And I'm not saying you have to spend 3-4 hours. I'm just saying spend time each day in reading, in praying, and getting to know who the Lord actually is. And the other thing is, right from the beginning, when I started, one of the things is your memory verses. They were all memory verses that showed me the promises of God, of what He's done, what He's doing, what He's going to do. And for you, I would say that you don't need lots of scripture, but you need to know the important bits of what God has done for you, what He's doing and what He's going to be doing. And you know, when you look at I want to look at Hebrews 11, which is, we were chatting about this the other day actually, and Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. If you want hope, hope is based on faith. Hope and faith go together. Your hope has got to be in something. It's got to be based on something. And faith is what we're talking about. And in here in Hebrews it says, faith is the substance. And I'm going to do something which I don't normally do. There's a word in Greek called hypostasis. See, Glenn, I do know these things. I don't normally use Greek. I don't even really look at the Greek too much. But hypostasis is the word for substance in this particular passage of Scripture. And what it means is a foundation. It means something solid on which you stand. And we see in the Bible the stories of the house built on the rock and the house built on the stand, on the sand. And what they want here is faith is built on a solid foundation. And that foundation needs to be in our hearts, in our soul, in our spirits. We need to understand what that foundation is. And it needs to be solid. It needs to be stable. Often you hear Andrew and a lot of other preachers say, is it based on a firm foundation? What is that firm foundation? And in Ephesians 2, verse 20, you've got your scripture there. Ephesians 2, verse 20. And he's speaking about who we are. And I'll start from verse 19, in fact. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, outsiders without rights of citizenship, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, God's people, and are members of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is joined together and continues to increase, growing into a holy temple in the Lord, set apart and sacred to the presence of the Lord. We need to have that firm foundation in place. And that only can come through study, can only come through prayer, can only come through sharing, can only come through the preaching Romans, it says there, faith cometh by the word, and the word cometh by hearing. We need to spend time in the word. We also need to understand that we need to encourage one another. The scripture in every writer somewhere in the New Testament, every one of them encourages us to endure. Patient endurance, to persevere, another way of putting it. But patient endurance we are required to have. Why? Because hope that is seen, faith that is seen, is what? That's not what it's about. Faith is about what we don't see, but what we understand and believe to be true. That is what we need to focus on. If we don't know the scriptures, if we don't know what God is saying to us, you don't know what God's word is, what foundation have you got? And for me, it's to encourage you to spend that bit of time in actually looking at your foundation. Because when the time comes, when you're in a place of turmoil, in a place of real problems, your faith can fade very quickly. You know, we had a friend of ours, we were talking the other day to a friend of ours, and she's a very strong Christian. And I mean, over the years, and we've known her for a long time, she's a firm, solid, I mean, it's a sort of, you want them alongside of you. And she was sharing how a couple of situations have occurred within her life where she found herself in a place where her faith was wavering. Is that the right word? She found that with all the pressure, the turmoil, what was going on in her life, she was starting to have a bit of a wobble. And I looked at that and I thought, you, she says, we are all in that place. She has got pastors and elders that she can share with who know her. And they were able to support her, to uplift her. She was able to pray. She was able to go to people. And that is why I say with all of us here, Jesus is the Lord. He is our living hope. But each and every one of us is here to support us, to lift us up when those times come. Because whether we like it or not, we are going to have those times and we are going to wobble. Whether you like it or not, your faith will begin to waver. I hate to say that, but yes, it does happen to us. It doesn't matter how strong you are. And we need to be very careful that we have that foundation to rest upon, to look through all this turmoil and see what the Lord has put in place for us. We can't do it by ourselves. We cannot do this by ourselves. That's why the Lord talks, Paul talks a lot, Peter talks a lot about building the body, the church. He talks about all sorts of different things in terms of how the fellowship needs to look after one another, to build one another up. And I'm talking about praying for one another. I'm not talking just praying. I'm talking about coming alongside people. You know, text, pray for them. Do they know you're praying for them? If I'm actually in a really hard time, and 2 months later, when my hard time says, yeah, yeah, we're praying for you. Did I know that? I'm sure that the Lord knows that. He's there. But to encourage me to know that somebody is aware of my problems, is conscious of them, who's there to support me and lift me up, that makes all the difference in a person's life. And we need to be available to do that. And if we go back to Hebrews 10. Got to watch my time. Andrew watches me closely these days. Be very careful, yeah? if we go to Hebrews 10, and it is verse 23. Okay, and that's Hebrews 10, 23. It says, let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. And let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and to do good deeds, not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. Do we believe that the time is close for the Lord to return? I believe that for some years now, and there's an urgency that I feel within the church, within my spirit, that says the Lord will be returning. Are we ready? Are we going to be like the five virgins who are prepared, or the five who are not? We need to be careful. And in verse 35, we just stay in the same chapter of Hebrews 10. If we go to verse 35, it says, do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it has a glorious and great reward. For you have need of patient endurance to bear up under difficult circumstances without compromising, so that when you've carried out the will of God, you may receive and enjoy to the full what is promised. Again, do we know what he's promised us? I'm expectant. There are days when I must admit, I get a bit, are you serious about this, Lord? Are you sure? And you read the scripture, you have these memory verses, and back that faith comes. And one another, we speak to one another, we share with one another. It builds your faith. We need to do this. We must realize that each and every one of us goes through some turmoil of some sort, some issues in their lives, which are unfortunately something we all suffer from. It's in those times that you need to have that faith. We need to have the hope that is built on that faith. So when you're in those troubles, you can see through it. You can see, Lord, you're still in this. You're still on the throne. You're still in charge. You're still the man who's going to fix this for me. No? He doesn't always fix it. But he does come alongside you and walk you through it. You know, if you go back to Isaiah, it's a beautiful passage in Scripture. It says, even in the way, the fire, I will walk with you. When the waves come, I'll stand with you. And the Lord has always been faithful to that. When the time comes when we need to stand in a situation, the Lord is there when we call on him. He's never, never shy. He's always there and available to us when we have those problems. And we need to have a spiritual understanding. And again, I go back to Romans 10, where it says, faith cometh by word, and the word cometh by hearing. We need to spend that time in the word. We need to spend the time with prayer. We need to spend that time knowing what God says. I'll give you an example. We need to be very careful. We've got a media, we've got opinions, we've got all sorts of, even the churches themselves, who share messages which are not scriptural. They are not of Jesus. And I'll give you an example. I had listened to a man very briefly who was preaching on healing, and he was, dare I say it, asking for money for that healing. And he quoted the scripture. And if you actually bothered to look that scripture up, it had absolutely nothing to do with healing. He quoted the scripture from Isaiah, saying it's a healing scripture, this, that. It's got nothing to do with healing at all. And that is mainly because his audience that listen don't even check the scripture. Have you ever seen when we go to some, I don't know, haven't been for years, but there are some churches where they don't use the Bible. They'll use scripts that they'll read from the scripts that may quote scripture here and there. But are those scripts script? You understand what I mean by a script? It's a piece of paper that they read out. Are those scripts biblical? And unless you look at the scripture yourself, you can actually accept them and say, yeah, it sounds good. And we need to be very, very careful that we do know what God says. Mark 13:22, if you want to write that scripture down, it says that there will be false prophets who will come who will even deceive the elect. And he's not talking about, when he talks about the elect, he's talking about mature Christians. That if we don't spend some time, be diligent about checking the scriptures, that people, that's why I know I use a lot of scriptures, and I would use more if I had more time, but it's because that's what the Lord's word is. It's not my word. I'm just here to present that word to you. And we have the word, we have prayer, we have fellowship, and most of all, we have the Holy Spirit. We have faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. John 3:16, we all know that. God so loved the world, but he did it so that we wouldn't perish but have eternal life. Again, it's scripture that we need to know. And Jesus has finished it. It says, it is finished. Everything has been done for us. And I think for some of us as people, that's maybe a bit of a push, because we feel we need to be doing something to be saved. Something for our salvation. And you know what? The Lord's done it all. And that's why we have a living hope. Because the Lord is alive and well and caring for us. He intercedes for us on a continual basis. We shouldn't have any shame in going to him and saying, Lord, I can't do this. I'm not able to do this. In fact, that's what he wants, because we cannot do it ourselves. Living this Christian life in your own strength is going to do one thing and one thing only. You will fail and you will become frustrated. And we cannot go there. How do I know that? Okay. I'm sure some of us may have gone there to a place, but you can become seriously frustrated trying to do it yourself. And it can lead you to maybe step back and stand back. And the Lord doesn't want that of us. And one of the things is that in Hebrews 6:17, it talks about our hope is an anchor for the soul. Now, anchors, some of you may be sea people, fishing people, but I'd like you to share a quick story. Over time. We used to go on holiday to Mozambique, which is the closest bit of sea to where I lived. And we went down there one year, and I took a boat, and you had to cross an estuary, quite a big river coming in, and you had to park your boat in the middle of the estuary. Now, for this little landlubber who was used to still waters, I was quite nervous. I did some homework, and I went to the marine people, and they said, here's the anchor that you need, that's how you run it. Okay, so this is a big boat. It'll take, you know, we talk about big boat and motor, the whole bundle. And he gives me this anchor, probably about that size, about that round, nice lump of lead in it. So it's probably about that long. And I'm looking at the anchor, I'm looking at my boat, thinking, hold on, guys. And what you do is you attach, this is fact, by the way, you attach 2 meters of heavy chain to it, and then you rope it. That's it. So you park this in the middle of an estuary that has got a tidal lift of 20 feet. Okay, so we're talking about the water goes up and down real fast. And when the tide's going out, it really, really moves out. And you're sitting there, and the first couple of nights, I hardly slept at night because I'm sitting watching my boat. But you know, that anchor did the job. And it's because of the way it was set up. And it really works incredibly well. And with us, we have an anchor. And you know, when you read that Hebrews 6:17, it's a promise that says that the anchor goes through into the Holy of Holies. It's attached to God Himself. You know, and I find that amazing, because I had to learn about that anchor, because I was petrified I was going to lose my boat. Because you lose your boat, I mean, that's, yeah, hello. But that anchor held. And that is the way we need to be looking at the hope that we have, is that is an anchor for our soul. God's promises. And more are becoming aware that we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have the Word, we have prayer, we have the fellowship. But you know, right at the beginning, when the apostles were put into play, when they started to work and go out, Jesus said to you, I need to leave now. But when I go, I will send the helper, the counselor, to help you. I will not leave you as orphans. So yes, I know that I'm encouraging you to read things, but you know what? We have a Savior who actually cares for us. He's put everything in place for us. If we spend the time to look for it, He's got everything for us. And when I look at the Holy Spirit, I think it's John 16, He says that He sends the Holy Spirit to us, because the Holy Spirit will teach us, guide us, lead us, strengthen us. He goes through so many promises that the Holy Spirit will do for us. How often do we spend time with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is one of the Godhead, the Lord. And so often we incline to, I won't say discount Him, but we don't maybe pay the attention to the Holy Spirit that we need to. And that is, He's given to us. The Holy Spirit is here within us to help us live in this life that we have, this life on earth. And our dependence needs to be on the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have the Word, we have prayer, we have fellowship, we have Andrew. But you know what? We need to have the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to counsel us, to strengthen us. We need the grace that comes with it. You know, in John 4, when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, He said, the time will come where we will worship in spirit and in truth. And when all else is gone, we are there to worship and praise the Lord, to serve Him, to follow Him in spirit and in truth. The truth is found in the Word. And that's why I use the Scriptures, because if you're not looking at the Scriptures and you're taking them as read, hopefully then you will. I would like to be challenged. If I get the wrong Scripture, please tell me. But we need to know that it is scriptural. It's from the Word of God, not from the Word of Arthur. And we need to understand that there are many places who don't share the Word of God accurate from the Scripture. We were talking about it earlier on. Quite often, and I go to the prosperity people, where they will use just a single little sentence, taken out of context, taken out of everything, and say, oh, this is it here. But they don't look at the intent of the gospel, the intent of the Scripture, the two verses on either side, because then you see what the Lord is actually trying to tell us. And I just want to encourage you that we are not alone in this. We are not alone. And one of the passages of Scripture that encouraged me is that, I think it's, I'm going to have to look at one. 2 Kings 6. When the Assyrian army is coming against Elisha, because he keeps telling the king, his king, what they're doing. And he says, you're a spy, what are you doing? And this whole army comes against Elisha. And they wander outside, and you see this incredible army, the Assyrians. And Elisha sort of having his breakfast and quite parked off. And the servant is absolutely in a tither. He's really getting quite excited, saying, what are we going to do about this? Who, where, what? And Elisha says, Lord, open his eyes. And he opens Gehazi, I think it was, his eyes, and he sees the Lord of hosts arrayed on the hills around him. And he says, those that are with us are greater than those who are against us. And as Christians, that is who we are. We have the Lord behind us, the Lord of hosts. And he's there when we call on him. Is he going to fix your problems? Fix them is probably the wrong word. No. But he will be there to strengthen you, to give you the grace, to give you the people, the fellowship, whatever is necessary to go through that occasion. Sometimes we cannot do it ourselves. Sometimes. All the time. We cannot do it by ourselves. We've tried. It doesn't work very well. Jesus died for us. He will not abandon us. And I think I quoted it some time ago. It's from Yoda, Star Wars. I know it's scripture. He says, he hasn't brought us this far to bring us this far. Okay. He has got a plan and a purpose for us, and he will take us to the end. As long as we don't lose that confident hope that we have in Christ. Because he will take us there. He's promised to take us there. The Lord is faithful when we are not. And the Lord is gracious. And I said, he's faithful even when we're not faithful. And that hopefully is not very often. And the last scripture I just wanted to share, the second last, 2 Timothy 2. Let me just read that. That is the scripture for the he is faithful when we're not. And that's the scripture for it, just if you want to write it down. But the last thing I wanted to share with you, just as an encouragement, is that when it comes to the Lord, and when it comes to Jesus and our lives with him, we need to have the same attitude as the woman who had the issue of blood. You know it in Mark 9. There you go. Sorry. I knew it was there somewhere. But in Mark 9, they talk about the woman with an issue of blood who had an issue of blood for 9 years or 12 years or a long time. And she was really not in a good way. She used all her money. All the doctors said nothing. But she had a hope. She had a faith in her that said, that man can fix me. She saw a need, and she saw who could meet that need. And she had to go through that crowd. And we've chatted about this. She must have, because she was unclean and not acceptable there, she'd have had to crawl through all these people. And we talk about a big crowd to touch Jesus' hem. That's why she touched his hem, because he was on the floor. And he knew. And we need to have that same attitude of persevering, saying, yes, I have a need, he can meet my need. And we need to be in that place where we are saying, Lord, I'm available for what you want me to do. I cannot do it by own strength, but I'm willing to do it in your grace, in the love and the mercy that you show me. So this morning, I really just want to encourage you, seek the Lord. Seek him while you can. And when I say seek him, I know I'm talking to born-again believers. I'm talking about people who do seek the Lord. But I think more and more we need to focus on what he has for us and the promises he's already given us. Because, I will quote our favorite pastor, says the best is yet to come. But if we're not ready for it, it'll pass us by. We were sharing, just the last bit of sharing, nearly done, is in Mark we were talking about Bartimaeus, the blind man, the beggar on the road, being healed. Jesus was moving past through Jericho, heading towards Jerusalem. He wasn't coming back there ever again. Bartimaeus called out again. He had a need and he knew that Jesus could meet that need. But we need to understand that if he hadn't called out, Jesus had gone past, that would never happen again. And there are situations and circumstances in our lives, sometimes that happens to us, where the Lord is passing. And we call out to him and say, Lord, I need you. Because if we don't, he's passing. He may not come back here. So I'm not talking about the fact that you lose your salvation or whatever may be the case. I'm talking about losing out the blessings that the Lord gives us for being obedient, available, and hearing what he has to say to us. So that is for me this morning, just to encourage you, please. The Lord is gracious, and I think I really live in the understanding and the hope and the faith that the Lord has just so much more for us. It's going to be exciting. It may be tough, yes, because we may be challenged for our faith and to where we stand. But you know what? The Lord's grace will be there. The Lord's strength will be there. And so I want to encourage you all. Look for the Lord. He's gracious and available to us. Amen. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you care for us, Lord. Lord, you've called us and chosen us. You brought each one of us here today by your plan, by your purpose, for your will, Lord. And Lord, as we come before you this morning, I pray, Lord, please, that for each and every one of us, that we'd open our hearts to allow you, Lord, to speak to us, to allow you, Lord, to change us. Lord, so often we don't really want to be changed. But Lord, I pray this morning our hearts be open to say, Lord, I want to change. I want to be more like you, Lord. Lord, help us in our lack of faith. Help us in our lack of hope, Lord. For Lord, you have given us a faith and you've given us a living hope, Lord, that as you sit at the right hand of the Father, Lord, you intercede for us, you know us, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you for the love that you show us, the mercy, the grace. And I know, Lord, that there's just so much more for us, Lord. So I thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, I thank you with a gratitude from my heart that you've brought us all to this point today. For you have cared for us, Lord. And I thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.